Hello, everyone. Tim Wildman here. We've got some great tours lined up for 2026. Washington, D.C., George Washington's Mount Vernon, Colonial Williamsburg, Historic Jamestown, Boston, Massachusetts, and that greater area. So much to see and do in 2026. If you want information on any of these trips, go to wildmangroup.com, WILDMONgroup.com, and we'll see you on one of our tours in 2026.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Tuesday, December the 30th, 2025. Thanks for listening to AFR. I'm Tim Wildman with Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
Good morning.
Chris Woodward.
Good morning.
These two gentlemen are in studio with me here in Tupelo, MS, and in Hudson, Florida area is our good friend Ray Pritchard. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How are you on this? This is New Year's Eve Eve, right?
Yeah, New Year's Eve Eve. Well, I got to the office this morning and parking lot's empty because there's no people that come to work on except the people who are out of vacation days.
I felt like I needed to reintroduce myself. It's been 2 weeks since I've been on.
Well, so, that's true. You've been out hunting Bambi, haven't you,
Wes? That's right. I have. I've had a good time doing that. But listen, there's more important things to be doing.
Right.
Well, I'm out of time.
It is deer season for a lot of the country, right?
Do you like I did that? There's more important things to do, and I don't have any more time off.
Right. Well, that's true. There are more. Anyway, and on the road to work this morning, and I'm sure this is true across the country, there was very few cars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very few cars out there. So anyway, we hope you're having a wonderful Christmas / New Year's break for those of you who are still in the workforce. For those of you who aren't, it's just another day. Just another day. All right. It is Tuesday, December the 30th, though. It is New Year's Eve Eve, as Ray says. And so if you started read through the Bible in January and you're just now in Matthew,
you better be a speed reader.
You're about to fail.
That's right. Or you're going to have to stay up all night.
Hey, let me just say this. And Ray, I guess you can go back and still watch the video series you did from 2024, right?
Sure. And there are people who've been riding this bus now, Bible bus, with me for, well, this is the third year. We started 2023, 2024, 2025. And so I'm amazed at the number of people who just hop on. And today, let's see, today we are in Revelation 19 and 20. And then tomorrow, Revelation 21 and 22. And we wrap up. And then on January 1st, start all over again.
Yeah, I wanted to make people aware of this because who are new to American Family Radio, Ray Pritchard, our good friend and colleague who's with us Tuesdays and Thursdays, he has his home ministry called Keep Believing. And was it in 2024 you did the video series?
23.
Okay. So in 2023, what Ray did was he video recorded a Bible reading daily for the whole year and completed through the Bible, right, Ray?
That's right. And there are 365 videos. They are on the Keep Believing website. We've got it, Tim, in audio. It's on Spotify and iTunes and, whatever the other big one is. So if people want to listen to it audio-wise, they can do that. But we've got 365 videos. The series is called Let's Read the Bible.
Okay.
So all you have to do is go to keepbelieving.com. Right up there at the top, you'll see the link that says, Let's Read the Bible. Click on it, and it's arranged by months and then by days. So you can, if you want to start today and read with us as we read through Revelation 19 and 20, you can do that. But all of them, you can pick any day of the year, start any day you want.
Now, well, what about commentary? Wesley wants to talk here. I'm going to let him.
I'm going to let him.
You're my son. Yeah. Well, you're my adult son, so you do what you want. But anyway, still your elder.
That right.
So I want to add, you give commentary there, right?
I do.
Okay.
There's a little greeting, and then I give the outline of the book just to remind people where right. we are. And then I will read through. And then at the end, there's a very brief application, just something to right. take away from that day's reading, and then a prayer.
Well, I just say, all I wanted to add was, wow. I mean, somehow I either missed that or forgot about it, but I didn't realize that. That's a huge accomplishment. I know it's been done, you said, for over a year now, but I just want to say good job.
It's awesome. Well, yeah.
It completed it. When did you complete it?
In 2023, and it's the kind of thing, Wesley, that you're glad you didn't know how hard it was going to be before
right.
you started, or yes. you wouldn't have gotten
That's
into
right.
it.
That's right.
Now, would you say, looking back 2023, would you say 70% of them were daily recordings, or did you record two or three, four at a time because you had to travel?
That's exactly right. Most of them, I would do five at a time, six at a time.
Right.
If you get,
you might as well if you're sitting down. Yeah, and,
right, and they got to go into kind of post production, you know,
right,
make
yeah.
videos look right. So
yeah,
wow,
amen.
Four or five, and you know, you doing that is humbling. You preach all your life for most of 50 years, right?
Right.
It's not. You would never say, "Oh, I really know the Bible." You never really say that.
That's right.
Okay, but reading through it, Wesley, you realize. Man, there's wow. a lot of stuff here
yeah.
I don't know very much about. And, you know, I felt that way in the book of Job, which is profound. I felt that way in Song of Solomon for a different reason. And then Ezekiel with all of its images and stuff. So you read through it and make your comments. And then you say, you know, I still have a long way to go to really know the Bible.
Yeah, sure.
Hey, I have a question here. It's Chris. We've heard a lot for the last 3.5 months, ever since Charlie Kirk died, that a lot of young people have inquired about faith. They've taken an interest in church, reading the Bible, maybe reading the Bible again. Is this something that you might encourage a young person out there who's trying to reach his peers or her peers to get involved with?
Well, look, doing it this way with this video audio for every day,
mm-hmm.
it's bite-sized. To read the whole Bible in a year is, it feels like you're climbing Mount Everest backwards, okay? Mm-hmm. It seems impossible. Okay, it probably is. So just pick a day and start. I think it would be great. And by the way, Chris, all the surveys bear out what you said, that we had an inflection point, a turning point, well, when Charlie Kirk was assassinated. Bible sales have gone through the roof. And I saw this survey the other day, you've probably seen it, that it says that church attendance by these, you know, baby boomers, that's my group, the millennials and Gen X and Gen Z, whichever is the newest one, plus the millennials, that's the highest percentage of regular church attenders in America today. Meaning God's up to something.
Mm.
That he used this awful thing that happened to Charlie mm-hmm. to awaken a whole generation. So, yeah, there's a hunger for the word of God among young people. They don't want to play church. Give me the straight truth. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this series would be a great place, these videos, great place for young people to hop on the Bible bus.
Okay, what's the website again?
Keepbelieving.com.
Keepbelieving.com. By the way, related to the Bible and a story that's in the news, I saw it on the Christian Post, mm-hmm. which is a news service today. There was a discovery at the Temple Mount area of a... They're doing excavations and have been doing it for years. Every time I go over to Israel, which is usually once a year, I see these archaeologists and scientists out doing, digs in and around the Temple Mount area, and they discovered an area that with a bath. Okay.
Oh, like a mikveh?
Well, I thought that was like a food.
You got it, Chris. That's right.
It's a ritual bath. Well, like what they would baptize themselves with.
Oh, you knew this, Chris?
No, sir. I saw those myself when I was over there.
But you acted like you knew. Oh,
he just recently got back from over there where he saw this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry.
So jokes on you,
I might have actually seen what you're talking about here.
Okay, but what did you call it, Chris?
A mikveh.
I call it a bathtub.
that's usually what it is.
But it goes back to it has ashes. Mm-hmm. They discovered ashes, which they say, these archaeologists, and I don't think they're Christians, and then I don't even know what religion they are, if they're any, it doesn't say, where they would have a bias. That's the reason I mentioned that. They might have a bias, but they discovered ashes, Ray, which they say date back to the time of the destruction of the Second Temple.
Right.
That the Bible talks about.
Herod's temple was a magnificent structure, and it was destroyed when the Roman legions came in AD 70 and basically leveled the place. This vast, you've been there, Tim, many times. It's a large area. Destroyed it completely. You know, Jesus said, not one stone will be left upon another. Totally true. And so the ashes are the remains of the fire that destroyed the temple of God in AD 70. So, you know, the mikvah was, this is tied in with the Old Testament, the whole concept of holiness, that you would bathe yourself in water as a sign of, it's what you would call ritual purity, but a reminder that your heart must be clean before you approach the Lord. So it was a big, big part of temple worship. So to find this is a tremendous, yet one more in a long string of a tremendous discoveries that have tended to confirm what the Bible actually says.
Yeah. I shared this link, the article that Tim mentioned on our Facebook page, and you'll see pictures there. But I would recommend it, if any of our listeners have ever been to Israel, but it's been a very long time, I would recommend going back if you have the opportunity, because they're discovering things all the time. Well, so things you might not have seen in 2005, you're going to see in 2025 or 26, whatever it
is. And at minimum, it proves the historical portion of Scripture,
right?
Regardless of Jesus, or in this case, so the historical.
It was a ritual bath place where people took baths, but it was had ashes. They found ashes that confirm what we're saying is it confirms what the Bible says. This is what the archaeologists are saying. There on the ground, they would confirm what the Bible says about the destruction of the temple in AD 70 by the Romans, the Jewish temple, destructed, razed, and burned down to the ground. And so that's what they've discovered in Israel. I never will forget, they discover stuff, as you say, Chris, all the time in the Holy Land. And they discovered the Jesus, what they call the Jesus boat. I don't know, when was that, 20, 30 years ago, Ray?
Right.
What happened was the levels at the Sea of Galilee got so low that they found a boat. And the boat had been sitting in mud, basically. I'm doing layman's terms here. Mm-hmm. That made it able to be preserved. Not completely intact, as you might imagine, after 2,000 years, but they did date the boat back to the time of Jesus, and in fact, they've got it on display over there. When you get off your boat ride at the Sea of Galilee, you can see the what they call the Jesus boat, which, you know, who knows? Maybe in the boat. It's
pretty neat.
That the disciples were on, or Jesus was on. You never know, but the fact that it would be preserved after a couple thousand years in the mud...
They don't make things like they used to.
That was a good one, Wes.
Right. I mean, they still got amphitheaters from like Herod and the Romans over there, still standing. You know, we got a Colosseum about to be falling apart over here.
5 years.
You know, whatever people may believe about Jesus Christ, and of course, we proclaim
the Trinity
here,
and we
proclaim here that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of the world, and we firmly believe that, and we preach that and teach that here on American Family Radio, but whatever you may believe about Jesus Christ, it's undeniable that if you look at the
evidence,
the evidence that exists in the Holy Land of the history of the Jewish people,
that's right,
that is, it matches up with what's described in the Bible. So the Bible is not a bunch of myths,
right,
a bunch of fables. There are a bunch of stories in the Bible. Some are
miracles.
Some of which were parables. Some of which were actual,
yep,
so, reality. And most of the whole Old Testament is actual reality. It's historical, but it's the story of the Jewish people, and the Jewish people still exist today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and their story goes on. So, Ray, I don't know how you can look at the Holy Land and what's there even today and go, well, this matches up with what the Scripture says, what these crazy Christians believe.
While we're talking about this, can I recommend a brand new book to our listeners? And I mean brand new. I'm okay.
Okay.
In fact, it's so brand new, isn't even out yet. So it's coming out in early 2026. It's called Faith Affirming Findings. And the reason I know about this book, it's written by my friend Paul Weaver, who is a professor and an archaeological specialist at Dallas Theological Seminary. And he has put together a book, and there's videos that go with it, and there's a website that goes with it on 50 of the most important archaeological findings from the Old Testament and the New Testament that affirm that the Bible is reliable and it is true. So,
hey, can you get him? Can you ask him to be on our show?
Oh, absolutely. I know Paul would be glad to do it.
Okay, let's do that.
This tremendous book.
Maybe we'll get together
about New Year's.
About when, yeah. But that'd be fabulous if we could have him on. Maybe a couple, three times to talk about this. So the name of the book is Faith Affirming Findings?
Faith Affirming Findings. It's going to come out from Kregel, Kregel Books. And the man's name is Paul Weaver. Very good friend. Very good friend. And he's a professor down at Dallas Seminary. This is the best current book that you would give to an interested layman,
right,
to say, okay, I've heard about archaeology. Here's the picture. Here's the story. Here's what it means.
I know. I got a book coming out. You know.
You do have a book coming out.
No, I'm just kidding.
What, deer hunting in the Holy Land?
No, I couldn't. For those that know anything about me, I'm so far from grammar or writing.
Yeah,
or,
that's not your. That's not.
It's not a gift.
What editors are for?
That's right.
That's not. You need an editor.
No, the editors don't want me writing. But I'm glad we have those out there with the gift of writing, because books like this can really change people's lives.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There are books in the last 100 years that have, beyond the Bible I'm talking about, that have reached millions of people.
Yep.
Mere Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
Case for Christ.
Case for Christ, More Than a Carpenter, yep, by Josh McDowell.
Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey.
That's right, mm-hmm. Hal Lindsey's book.
Best-selling book of the 1970s. Yeah.
Was it really? Okay.
Yeah.
Hal Lindsey. Whatever. Is he still alive?
I went to be with the Lord within the last year or two.
Hal Lindsey. Okay. Yeah. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We highly encourage you to read the Holy Scriptures so that you may come to know, if you don't know, the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Change your destiny. The Bible says that Jesus gives life abundant and obviously gives life eternal. We have eternal life. That is, when we die, we go to heaven to be with Christ and the saints.
Amen.
And eternity awaits. So that's what the Scripture teaches for those who repent and turn to Christ for their salvation. All right, Chris, back to earth.
Yes, I often do not have the opportunity to present or begin the news segment with positive news, but I'm going to do that today.
Give us some positive news, Chris.
And I say that based on something from a number of news outlets, including Christian Post. There is a new Puerto Rican law that recognizes unborn children as people from conception. Puerto Rico has enacted a new law that identifies unborn babies as people, giving them the same rights granted to every other human being. Republican Puerto Rican Governor Jennifer Gonzalez Colon announced in a statement that she signed Senate Bill 504 that amends the Civil Code of Puerto Rico to clarify that every human being is a natural person, including the conceived child at any stage of gestation within the mother's womb. What's interesting here is there is a comment, and I've shared this on our Facebook page. Carol Tobias at National Right to Life called the bill's passage a, quote, landmark achievement for the pro-life movement. So stick with AFN because I'm going to try to get reaction to this later after the show.
Yeah, and when Chris says our Facebook page, he's talking about the Today's Issues.
Yes, sir.
Facebook page. Well, wonderful. Good for the people of Puerto Rico. And I don't know, is Puerto Rico, Ray, do you know the religious demographic there? Is it mostly Catholic? Yeah, or is
mostly it, Catholic. But okay. There's a strong and growing evangelical presence there as well, and kudos to who was it that read again the name of the person who sponsored this bill.
Well, it was Senate Bill 504, and then Carol Tobias at National Right to Life praised it for being a landmark achievement.
It's amazing in the 21st century
in any
that
country.
In Puerto Rico, yeah. Any country, thank you, yeah, to take that kind of stand for the unborn.
Yeah, and you know, we want to mention again, because I know some people listening may go, unborn baby have the same rights as a born human being. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Again, we go back to the biblical definition of human life and the scientific definition of human life, mm-hmm, because at conception is when the human being starts to grow. And unless you kill it,
distinct DNA.
Yes, distinct DNA. After conception, unless you stop the growth artificially,
yeah,
like an abortion, for example, that sperm and egg that come together to make conception and create the individual, unique human being will grow and become born, and then live a natural life. So. Yep. It's good for Puerto Rico,
yes,
for leading the way.
And I can tell you, too, it's not really that much of a stretch beyond some existing laws here in the U.S. And I say that, for example, like in Alabama, if somebody were to kill a pregnant lady and the baby dies, that person is charged with and convicted of two murders. So, like, there are some rights kind of sort of like this, but we just don't go as far as Puerto Rico. Somebody will try to do what they do here, though.
I'd imagine, too, that was... You're going to hear my bias here and incrementalism, but especially in certain cases. But I would imagine that was an incremental change over time,
yes,
right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I
guess to make the point that sometimes it takes longer than others, but chipping away at it and on the life issue, eventually you get to.
Well, also medical science has
helped
with the equipment you can use.
Ultrasound.
That's right.
Now, and we talk about this with preborn, the ministry we support. If you show a woman the heartbeat of the unborn baby starts with, 6 weeks or something like
six,
that?
6 8 weeks, yep.
So it's just, that only confirms that it's a live, living, growing, it's a human being.
Yep, that's right.
What other kind of being could it be?
Yep.
It's a human.
Well, hopefully we're not too far behind that. I know there's several states that have.
Yeah, strong pro-life laws.
They do, yeah.
Yeah, but Puerto Rico.
All the way.
Yeah, Puerto Rico, we congratulate the folks there. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Let's go ahead and take our break right here. And we will be back with more of the show after this short timeout. We'll be right back.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became white as light. Two mountains in the Holy Land are revered as the Mountain of Transfiguration. Like many other sites of the Holy Land, one has to decide which site he prefers as being authentic, if indeed either is. Since the 4th century, Mount Tabor has been accepted by many as the Mount of Transfiguration. Mount Tabor is about 5 miles east of Nazareth and 12 miles west of the southern tip of the Sea of Galilee. Although the mountain is only 1,843 feet high, one can see a far distance from its summit. Atop Mount Tabor, you can see Mount Carmel, about 25 miles to the west on the edge of the Mediterranean Sea. You can also see Mount Hermon, nearly 50 miles to the north. To the south and west of Mount Tabor is the Plain of Ashkelon, also known as the Plain of Jezreel. The other spot, which some consider to be the Mountain of Transfiguration, is Mount Hermon. It's about 30 miles north of the Sea of Galilee. The highest point of this snow-capped mountain is 9,101 feet above sea level. Just south of Mount Hermon is Caesarea Philippi. The fact that Jesus was mentioned as being in this area just prior to the Transfiguration experience is accepted by some as evidence of Mount Hermon being the Mountain of Transfiguration. The truth is that we don't know where the Mount of Transfiguration is, and it really doesn't matter, because it was not the location which was important, but the event. Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain. Then something mysterious and exciting happened. As the disciples looked on, the face of Jesus became exceedingly bright. His clothes became as white as light. Then the three disciples recognized two men with Jesus, Moses and Elijah. Moses represented the old law through which God had sought to save man from his sinfulness. Elijah represented the prophets whom God had sent to lead the people into his kingdom. And Jesus, of course, was God's final and most perfect method of winning people to his way. Suddenly, a shining cloud came over the group, and a voice was heard speaking from that cloud. "This is my own dear Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." It was such a terrifying experience for the disciples that they fell on their faces. During the experience, Peter, in his excitement, wanted to build 3 buildings of worship on that mountain. One was to be for Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Peter had tasted a mountaintop spiritual experience. He did not want to go back down into the valley. But Jesus would not let Peter build those houses of worship. No, Jesus took his disciples and went back down into the valley where the suffering of life was. There was a young boy suffering from epilepsy waiting for him upon his return. You know, we all need occasionally our Mountain of Transfiguration experiences. But to stay on the mountain, apart from the sin and suffering of humanity, is contrary to the will of God.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Be silent before me so that I may speak. Then let come upon me what may. Why should I take my flesh in my teeth and put my life in my hands? Though he slay me, I will hope in him. Job 13, 13 through 15.
American Family Radio. This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Wesley, Chris, and Ray. And as always, we thank you for listening. You want to send us an email, it's comments@afr.net. Comments info@afr.net.
We also need to remind people about our app. We have an AFR
app. Talk about that.
Yeah, we got an AFR app. So go to the app store on any of your smartphone device. Not use the dumb devices, just the smart devices, right? You got a smart.
Yeah, you're using dumb devices. We can't help you.
We can't. No, we can't help you. No,
I mean, you're going to have to get you a smart device.
But you get you a smart device and you go to AFR or type in American Family Radio and there you can download the app. Between that and our streaming platform, stream.afa.net, and our website, AFR.net, are the three places that we encourage you to go to because you don't have to be at a radio in order to listen. And there's more information there. There's more places. There's more radio programs and podcasts that we host there that we don't have on our radio network because there's only so much room on the dial.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's right.
I have my wife's cousin, Andrew. Andrew, if you're listening, thank you, because he often listens to us on the app and tells us.
Are you doing a shout out to Andrew?
Shout out, Andrew. We want last name. Yeah. We want phone numbers.
You like Arsenio Hall.
He's right-handed.
That's right.
White, Southern.
Doing a shout out.
Yeah.
Huh? Thank you, Andrew.
A shout out. Has that lasted, or is that?
I think it transcends time. It's a triple.
It does. It transcends.
Much like Mikvah.
I hear people say shout.
How many of our listeners remember Arsenio Hall? You threw that name out. I haven't heard that name in a while.
Yeah.
Well, he had a show.
Right.
Back in the 90s, I think it was.
Bill Clinton showed up and played the saxophone.
I remember that.
The Arsenio Hall show, I think it's what it's called. And that was his expression, shout out. And I thought,
used to do this.
That dates back to the 90s at least, the shout out.
Back to the last century.
I tell you, a word that's made it through the decades here is cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
COOL. That's lasted. That's a 70s word. That's probably a 60s word, isn't it, Ray?
It is. It is. And it's still, the kids use it in their texting. Yeah.
Cool. Cool's made it. Now, a
10-year-old uses that.
A word that died. It was cool. This word I'm about to mention was the brother of cool.
Okay.
Groovy.
Or rad. That's what? Rad.
Rad.
That's right.
Rad.
Well, let me get through. Let me bury Groovy first.
Okay.
Groovy. You know, you do not hear that.
No, right? Groovy died.
That's right.
Groovy was Cool's twin brother from the
60s. That's right.
And Groovy didn't make it. He RIP'd in the mid-70s, I think.
Right. If you said to somebody, that's Groovy,
they would look at you. They would tilt their head.
Unless they were their head.
Yeah, unless they were 60 or older.
Yeah.
Which I didn't use Groovy, but I know.
Who did.
I know people who did. Now, what is this word you mentioned, Wesley?
Rad was the 90s, and so that died too. It was it's a decade.
I just absolutely missed that totally. Rad?
Like radical.
Yeah. Oh, radical.
It's short.
Short for?
Yeah, short.
It's rad, man. Yeah.
It's rad, dude.
For any.
You use that, Ray?
Right here.
Look. I did. I haven't in a long time.
Rad.
Oh, I just. Well, now I
rad,
just.
And what Wesley said, rad and dude, they just go together. Yeah. That's rad, dude.
Well, I've started using out in public and around my grandkids is 6'7".
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you got to do your body. You got to do your body and your hands in a certain way, but it's 6'7".
It can catch on. I know it annoys some people, but it's catchy because I'll find myself mentioning about the time and I'm like, it's close to about 6.
What does that
like,
mean?
Oh, it's 6'7".
What is it? You don't want to know the origin?
No one knows. No. And there are urban myths about it dating to this or
being
going
related
back to that
song.
Did it go back to the Bible?
I don't think so.
I don't believe so. Yeah.
It's not in First
Chronicles.
It's
chapter 6, verse 7.
Yeah.
Well, right.
Something
It'd
like
be
that.
6'7", right?
Yeah, 6'7". Now, my dad, passed away, 3 years ago? Anyway, I'm trying to think. He was born in 38. So he had, and a lot of old timers, as they say, would remember he used to have an expression that old timers use called 6'7", half dozen other ways. Do you remember this expression, Ray?
What? I don't think I've ever heard
that. He wouldn't say 6'7".
Okay.
He would say.
Six and a half. No, what he would say was.
Six and a half. Half a dozen.
My dad would be 80. What would he be? 87 if he were here today? he would say 6'7". No, he no, would say six and a half. Do you remember
yeah,
this?
Yeah, he would say six or half a dozen.
Either way. The what is that?
It's right here.
Okay, well, how do you say
it's
it?
Six of one, half a dozen of the other one.
I've heard
the other.
Okay, you've heard that, right?
Right, many times. Yeah.
Okay, that's a baby boomer.
Yep.
And are older because my dad, you know, he was beyond baby
six
boomer.
Of one, half a dozen of the other.
Okay. Yeah, he would say that a lot, and that means there are multiple ways you can do something.
Semantics.
That's right.
Yep.
Huh? Skin a cat. Multiple.
There are multiple ways, more than one way to skin a
cat. Which I've never seen a cat skin
cat
before.
Owners don't like to hear that expression, though.
PETA.
That's right.
We know.
You get a letter from PETA.
Yeah.
That's right.
Where did that come from? We better stop.
What?
Skin a cat?
Yeah.
I didn't say it. You said it.
I know, but why? When I say it out loud on radio, it makes you question.
Where did that expression come from?
When you say it out loud on radio.
People say there's more than one way to skin a cat. Maybe they're talking about a mountain lion. I don't think they're talking about your little kitty cat that roams around your house.
Now, y'all were talking about 6'7". I think somebody might have mentioned this on another show recently, but dictionary.com added 6'7" as its 2025 word of the year.
Really?
So many people are saying it.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm pretty cool then if I'm using it. 6'7".
The word of the year, and nobody really knows what it means.
I went to the Tupelo Christmas Parade, like many people here. And
on our staff.
A number of floats had children, and just about every kid on every float that went by me, there was a kid yelling 6'7", including kids dressed as angels.
Yeah. I yelled back 8, 9, 10.
Yeah.
Huh?
They kind of stopped.
Should have seen the looks I got.
Yeah. Nobody really knows, right?
Nobody knows the origin of that, do they, Wesley?
Nope.
Okay. All right, you're listening to Random Trivial Information right here on Today's Issues on American Family Radio. All right, we go back to the news desk, and
yes.
Chris Woodward is standing by. Chris?
Yes. Well, expect to hear more coming into the new year or going into the new year about Minnesota fraud. And I say that because various agencies in the Trump administration have announced they are investigating fraud in Minnesota. For example, the Department of Homeland Security says it's now looking into this. ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, has been looking into this. And talking about that this morning on Fox and Friends is Acting ICE Director Todd Lyons, who had this to say, clip 9.
ICE has been on the ground in Minnesota for a while now looking at these fraud claims. And one thing now the Homeland Security Investigation Special Agents are looking into is just that you said, that money trail, of where this money is going to foreign aid. You know, obviously looking at any type of links to any criminal activity, obviously terrorism activity, you know. And one thing you will see is that ICE is actually out there going with criminal warrants to conduct these investigations. So all too often you hear that ICE is just out there terrorizing the community or conducting administrative work. We've been on the ground in Minnesota conducting criminal investigations, and Homeland Security investigations has gone door to door to a lot of these suspected fraud sites all over St. Paul and Minnesota, and we're learning a lot.
Now, talking about the suspects here, this is just the beginning of the tip of the iceberg, if you will. 98 individuals have been charged thus far in Minnesota fraud cases. 85 of the 98 people charged are of Somali descent that were operating things like phony daycares and other businesses.
Yeah, for those who don't know, and we don't want to spend a lot of time on the story, though this is
developing. There's new information.
It's a big story, but... what happened was the United States federal government, funded by us, taxpayers.
Mm-hmm. Don't remind us.
Some of our money went to, as it goes to all the states, it went to Minnesota. What they've discovered is the money in Minnesota, which is supposed to be administered, again, it's federal money sent to the state, and the state's supposed to oversee the administration of said funds to support various and sundry projects. And the Somali community evidently had these fraudulent daycare centers established. So no children went to the daycare centers, but they got money. And that's what this is all about. Mm-hmm. And this is a big deal they're uncovering.
They also said that they also applied for disabilities that didn't exist either.
Yeah, well, that's an American way of life right there.
Well, yeah.
There's a number of people that did it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, I hear what you're saying. That's true. Well, they participated in it.
I'm just saying
well.
A lot.
Yeah,
no, disability fraud's a big deal, too.
There's
but yeah, yeah.
But they did it for kids in the daycare. They would say that the kids that they had in daycare had a disability that they didn't have, and they were getting money for it.
One of the daycare centers that supposedly was in operation that wasn't was a place called the LEARING Center. This was the sign it's famous now.
Yeah. And from a Nick Shirley video investigation, yes.
And so he showed the sign where they left the N off the daycare center. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be learning, right?
Yes.
Oh, and
yeah. Pretty bad. Leering.
Yeah.
The Leering School, right? The Leering Daycare Center. Is that what it is, Chris?
That's what it is, yes.
Yeah.
I'll post that in a second, too.
But their attendance has been way, way, way down.
As it should.
Oh, me.
It's a big... What happens here is, and this isn't the only agency this happens in, the federal government is... You know, well, no, that's one of the things Elon Musk focused on. You know, when President Trump first came into office, before he and Elon Musk had the falling out. I think they've had a falling in again, but they'll have another falling out here. But anyway, is the waste and fraud that goes on with our federal tax dollars? There's another story today. About there is something, at least somebody's trying to do something about it.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely.
In the Trump administration, there is if you go to the Fox News website, there's a story about the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development recently revealed that billions, with a B, in taxpayer funds that went to questionable rental assistance recipients. Federal government through HUD was paying for people's rent, like a welfare program. Well, they discovered that 30,000 of these people are dead. Okay.
Oh.
They don't need rent.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
All right. They've
already passed away.
They've gone on to the great rental in the sky, so to speak. 30,000, they discovered at least 30,000 deceased tenants. I'm not kidding. This sounds like a joke.
Yeah.
Where they discovered in an audit they did of this. And no surprise, most of them were in New York, California, and Washington, D.C.
Really?
Yep. Now, all 50 states, they discovered dead people getting money.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, did you see this, Ray?
I did.
Yeah.
And is it any surprise when you have that much money from the government, people are going to lie, they're going to cheat.
Yeah.
They're going to find a way to, you know, just because grandpa's gone to heaven.
Right. Well, they're going to
I should still be getting his money, right?
I think that's the way it works. It's fraud, and at least they discovered it and tried to do something to clean it up. Kind of reminds me of this story I saw a couple of years ago where, people get these disability what do you call them? They hang in the car.
Handicap
tag.
Yeah.
Like the little
handicap.
Thing from the
handicap. Handicap or disability, and allows them to park in the blue spaces that we all see.
We all want to park there.
We all want to park there.
But we know better.
We know better because our conscience gets to it.
That's right.
A little bit. So we don't. And it's against the law.
Right. Both.
So these blue parking spaces are reserved for people with disabilities. But what had happened was, what's happening is, when that person dies, their grandson.
That's right.
Taking it.
Yeah.
And it's being passed on. Did you see this?
Yeah. Yeah. I've been seeing it for years.
It's American way, by golly. Pass it down.
Yeah.
Anyway, next story, Chris.
All right. President Trump and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu had a meeting yesterday at Mar-a-Lago, Trump's resort in Florida, and they discussed a number of topics, including the U.S. brokered peace deal between Israel and Hamas. They got into Iran because Netanyahu is saying that Iran looks like it's interested in resuming its nuclear energy efforts there. Remember, we bombed a site in Iran to try to take out its nuclear capabilities. Trump praised Israel for living up to its end of the plans with Israel and Iran, but he also had this to say about Iran. Clip two.
Israel's lived up to the plan 100%. Don't forget, we made the plan possible by taking out Iran. And speaking of Iran, I hope they're not trying to build up again, because if they are, we're going to have no choice but very quickly to eradicate that buildup.
Now, that, of course, comes as the U.S. continues to go after Venezuelan drug boats. And most people may not be aware of this, given a lot of people are off, maybe not paying as much attention to news. But we have actually been involved now in a land operation in Venezuela, taking out a dock that Trump says was being used for the drug trade.
What kind of doctor was he?
A doc, a D-O-C-K.
Doc. Oh, my bad. my bad. That's a big difference.
Yeah,
there.
That's a big difference. President Trump, the POTUS, said that Venezuela has been using this dock for the drug trade. Clip four.
There was a major explosion in the dock area where they load the boats up with drugs. They load the boats up with drugs. So we hit all the boats, and now we hit the area. It's the implementation area. That's where they implement. And that is no longer around.
Those things were big topics this morning on Fox, and as we were discussing
what
various
does he mean
things,
it's no longer around?
It doesn't exist anymore because we blew it to kingdom come.
There's
my word. There.
That's
it.
A good biblical gone. Reference, yeah. too, there, Chris. Blew it to kingdom come. What do you?
I want to find a way to use the skin of cat here, and there's multiple ways to skin a cat, and there. There's
well,
one way.
You're starting. You're going to trigger your cat owners here if you keep on with this. I don't know what you call that, a euphemism?
Sure.
So, you know, in all seriousness, we got a situation in Venezuela, which is, you know, on the north end of South America, and is a country rich in oil and natural resources. But they have a dictator that is a bad dude, and Trump doesn't like him at all and thinks it's not good to have him. He's trying to force him out, Ray. Maduro, is that his name?
Yeah.
And Trump's trying to force him out by using military force. We've got, supposed to have a, do we have a, like an embargo going on, or what do you call it, blockade, naval blockade?
Yeah, it's a kind of a blockade. Yeah, to stop the oil traffic in and out, right?
And we're blowing up narco terrorist boats.
Blowing up the boats, right.
Now we blew up a dock.
And did I read somewhere it was a drone? We sent in a drone,
So what are we going to do? Do you follow this? What do you think's going on here, Ray? What's going to be the end game here?
I was asked the question recently. A few hours ago, what I thought about this, and I feel about this about the same way I do about the bombing of the villages over in Nigeria. Right when we sent the cruise missiles in,
right to take out some ISIS.
That's right.
Yeah,
and you don't really know from where we sit, Tim.
Right,
we don't know.
Right,
I've been to Nigeria. That's a remote area up there, up in the northwest, and so
you believe whatever the president tells you happened. Right,
that's exactly right. Because we don't have any way to judge it. How are we supposed to judge a dock in Venezuela?
Right.
So I will say this. Would I like more congressional involvement? Yeah, I would. Because I think it's easy for the president, any president, to get out on a limb, so to speak, by himself. But if the question is, should we take positive action to stop the illegal drug trade that's poisoning and killing Americans, I'm in favor.
Yeah.
If we know, that's where the drugs are, blow those ships out of the water.
I vaguely remember the Reagan administration. But, you know, the Just Say No campaign was obviously an epic failure and didn't amount to much. Whereas ending this the way Trump is ending it, it has proven to be more effective. But it doesn't seem to deter people from getting drugs back on a boat and trying. So I don't know how many more times they're going to keep doing this. They might run out of boat drivers. I don't know.
There's too much money involved, Chris, on the other side. It's just The drug business is a profitable, lucrative, and completely illegal and immoral and evil operation. But when you have that much money at stake, you know what, Chris? I think you probably always find somebody who will say, "I'll drive your boat because they won't catch me."
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Anyway, we'll see what happens here. But President Trump is moving for regime change in Venezuela. I knew a lady who had a restaurant near where we are here. She was from Venezuela. She was probably 45 years old at the time I knew her, this 3 or 4 years ago. But she would tell about what the terrible things that Maduro, the dictator, was doing to the people of Venezuela. And, you know, she wouldn't even go back because of the fear of what would happen. But she would say that she and some of her Venezuelan friends who lived in the U.S. would send aid back to physical aid back in trucks and so forth to Venezuela to try to help the people who were being oppressed by the dictator. And his army had intercepted a couple of those and used them for themselves. Anyway, dictatorships are terrible. Mm-hmm. And all over the world, you know, we see dictators rise up all over the world, it's always many of them use the military and the police to be their personal enforcers. So
here's this on this topic. Over the past decade, this is from an article I'll cite here in just a second, but over the past decade, an estimated 8 million Venezuelans have left the country in what is considered the largest migration crisis in recent Latin American history.
There you go. I mean, it's a terrible situation. You know, Venezuela, I've never been there, but I've seen they've got these waterfalls in Venezuela that are world famous. What do you know what I'm talking about? Look up world famous waterfalls in Venezuela.
Sure.
Anyway, I see pictures of those and I want to go there and see that sometime.
Wow. Sure.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
What does it say?
I mean, there are several. There's Angel Falls and some other things in Spanish I'm not going to try to pronounce. But there's...
Let me help you.
Do what
Chris.
You say, Ray?
I'm kidding.
That's
I'm kidding.
One of the most famous ones.
Can't read
right?
English.
Angel Falls, yeah. It's kind of like Niagara Falls to us.
Yeah. Right.
But it's even more...
Wow.
So it's even more impressive if you look at it. But anyway, and the people there, the Venezuelan people are friendly. All of them I've ever met. And
it is nice.
It's just a shame what's happened to their country. Anyway, Trump is trying to force out Maduro. We'll see how successful he's trying to force him out without using military might to go in and be on the ground. Nobody wants U.S. boots on the ground in Venezuela. And I don't think President Trump would do that. But he's smoking the guy out, so to speak, using a blockade and. Boats, you know, knocking out boats and docks now and so forth and so on. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. To a certain extent, it's whatever side of the political aisle you're on, whether you believe something's good or bad or right or wrong, or if you even believe...
Not military just.
Or even if you believe the messenger. So you would ask a lot of Democrats, they don't necessarily trust anything President Trump says. So if he says... You know, I took out a drug boat. They're going to say, "Oh, really? Prove it." You know, how did you? So it's sad that our country's in such a divide of trust, but that's just the way it is. Next story, Chris.
All right. In a first,
you got about a minute.
Yes, in a first, President Donald Trump has received an award.
What, really?
Yeah, from the nation of Israel. It's called the Israel Prize, and it's apparently the country's top civilian honor. Do we have time for 27 seconds? Okay. Clip 3.
President Trump has broken so many conventions to the surprise of people, and then they figure out, oh, well, maybe, you know, he was right after all. So we decided to break a convention, too, or create a new one, and that is to award the Israel Prize, which in almost our 80 years, we've never awarded it to a non-Israeli. It's going to be awarded to President Donald J. Trump for his tremendous contributions to Israel and the Jewish people.
Wow, that's great. Mm-hmm. Good for him, good for Benjamin Netanyahu, and good for
President
Trump on that one. All right, we'll be back in a minute with more of today's issues on American Family Radio. Steve Paisley Jordahl is on deck. We'll talk to him.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.